Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following program is sponsored by Senior Class Media. Welcome to Senior Class on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. You've graduated from the workforce and made it to retirement.
So go to the head of the class.
Senior Class Radio is your source for senior citizen-related topics, information, and entertainment. Now, it's time for Senior Class on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning to you, everyone. My name is Russell Mills, and this is Senior Class. Our mission is to discuss all aspects of life and living in your golden years or living with folks in their golden years. Your host for Senior Class is Mr. Rusty McMurray. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Senior Class. Thanks for waking up with us today. As always, we've got a great show in store for you. We have some special guests live here in the studio, but first, I want to welcome my co-host, Brittany Burridge, from the Linden Assisted Living and Memory Care. Brittany, great to see you in the studio again today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Also, I want to tell you, happy almost birthday.
Thank you very much. September 25th.
Is it Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the 25th. Yes. 1 day, 2 days away.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
Oh, I won't even discuss how many years old I am, but I will tell you.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank
way.
You very much. I appreciate that. Today's show is going to be outstanding. We're talking about end-of-life issues, end-of-life planning. I want to welcome live to the studios Dr. Joe Moore with Moore Funeral Homes. Dr. Moore, thank you so much for waking up with us today.
Thank you for Rusty. It's good to see so many friendly faces this morning.
Thank you very much. Our special guest to the studio today is Tim Houchin. He's an attorney here in the local area, and we're going to talk about wills, trusts, pre-planning, and how to protect assets. Tim, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
If you have a question or a comment for our attorney, Russell, what do folks need to do?
Absolutely. You can text us if you like. The number to text is 95920, or you can give us a call. The phone number, 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764.
Well, Tim, let's start with the basics. If someone doesn't have a will or a trust and they die, what happens?
Well, generally, you lose any control over what happens with your estate. If you do not have a will or a trust or you haven't planned for that, it passes what's called intestate, which means there's a list of statutes that just track down your kids, your relatives. If you have children, it goes down to them in equal distributions.
Lose control, who gains control? Is it the courts and the statutes?
The state statute will dictate what happens with your estate at that point.
Oh, my word. That sounds expensive.
Yeah, the probate process can be very expensive, and it's unnecessary. There are ways around it, and that's what we're going to talk about is wills and trusts and ways to avoid that process. It's not a bad process. It's been in place for many, many, many years, but it takes that direction of what you want to do with your assets and your finances and your stuff and hands it off to people in the capital who have no interest in really what you would like to see done with your property.
Now, Joe, how often do you see at Moore Funeral Homes people pass that have no will?
Well, that's not too common, really. It does happen occasionally. People just don't want to face that issue a lot of times. Most times I think people have wills, but very often they've not done trusts or what you might call more advanced type planning.
So those individuals that do pass without that will or that trust, is it very much more difficult going through the process? I mean, you see it on the emotional side. Tim, you see it on the legal side, but it's so easy to have a will or trust. I want to try to paint the picture for those individuals out there today that don't have a will or a trust, that it's something that's easy that they need to do. Is it difficult for the family to go through those hard times without that proper direction from the loved one that's passed?
Very definitely it is. I mean, they don't really know what their loved one wanted, and that can lead to all sorts of even controversies within the family.
Oh, I see that often.
And not to mention the financial burden that then falls on the family. So if, you know, the money aspect of things is not
tied
handled,
up.
Yeah, or yeah. it's tied up, then it falls on, you know, the children or the spouse to be responsible for those things. So, and, you know, if property is left behind and mm-hmm. those things aren't in place, then that financial burden falls on the family as well, unless you just want to, you know, lose the house or whatever
exactly.
it may be. It can get really, really stressful and overwhelming for families.
Do you have a story for us of an individual or a family that went through a tough time by yeah. not doing that proper planning?
Yeah, I have several stories, but I actually have a recent one in which this person is still living. However, she had a stroke and mm-hmm. became mentally incapacitated and no longer able to make her own decisions.
Right.
So her daughter was just, you know, in an emergency situation trying to seek guardianship and power of attorney, which she got. And so luckily we, you know, this person came to reside with us in our memory care so we could care for her. But the bank will not release any of her finances or any of her funds, despite the family having that emergency guardianship and POA. So they're actually having to sue the bank.
Oh my
word.
To
try to get access to this money just to pay for this person to live and be cared for. So it can be very messy and very, and you know, this woman doesn't have time to do all of that. And she doesn't have the financial resources to hire a lawyer to sue the bank. And so it's just been a really, really long, stressful process for this family. But that's why these things are so important, really, to have in place before you need them.
Exactly. And prior to the show, we asked Tim, you know, do you deal with a lot of these emergency situations? And you said, really not. Your job is really to help people plan to avoid those.
When things go correctly, yes. people come to my office before there's a problem.
Right.
And when that happens, they're healthy or they still have capacity. And they come to me primarily to help take care of their kids and their spouses. They want to take that burden you were talking about away from them so that I'm going to tell you what I want to have happen so you don't have to worry about it as much. And when they do it correctly, they think about their property. They also think about what's called an advanced directive for healthcare, which takes away those medical decisions. I'm going to make those mm-hmm. ahead of time so that I'm not leaving my kids with deciding when to what to tell doctors. You can talk to doctors on your own behalf while you still have capacity before you have a stroke or something happens to you where you can't speak for yourself anymore.
And Tim, can I ask a quick question? What is the difference between a will and a trust, and do I need both? Can I have one or the other?
Great question.
Yeah. A will is merely a direction as to what's going to happen with your property. And to finalize a will, you will go through this probate process. You'll have to go to court to have your property distributed, but it is already at your direction. The court's going to do what you've already told them to do in your will. The problem is that does add a court proceeding, which is an extra cost. It's not necessary if you can avoid it. And that's what trusts do. Trusts, in a weird way, create a fake person who can't die. And that person owns your property. And so when you die, whoever becomes your successor trustee, you just tell them what you want to do with your property, and they just distribute it.
It just continues on and on and
on. So you bypass the court completely.
It jumps right around the court system. And you still have absolute direction to tell your successor trustee what to do with your property. And so you tell them, I want my kids to have this. I want my spouse to have this. You direct the succession of your property. But you can avoid all that legal court process where you put a lot of things in the hands of judges and other attorneys and people who may not like what you'd want to have done and want to question it and cause problems. And that can, like I said, add complexity and cost really unnecessarily.
So the key here is to have that trustee, right?
Yes. Your successor trustee needs to be someone that is going to do what you say. They can be friends. It can be family. There are corporate trustees if you have large assets. There are companies that do nothing but manage people's estates, and you can appoint those corporate trustees to manage your property as well.
Now, Tim, a lot of people think that you have to be mega rich to have a trust, but it's really just a vehicle to protect assets, keep you from having to go through probate, because when you go through probate, your assets are completely listed for public view.
Is that correct? Yeah. You have to list the inventory and accounting of what those properties are, and it's a public filing in the probate process. I've done many trusts for people who only own their house.
Exactly.
The only asset in the trust is their residence, and they just want that residence to pass through to their kids without having to go through the probate process.
Whether it's a lake house, the house the family grew up in, a rental property, mm-hmm. and that's important. But when we come back from break, we're going to talk about the expense of a will versus a trust and when those break down. What are some of the problems that arise when you've built a will or you've built a trust? and what some of those problems are that we can circumvent here on today's show.
All right, we are going to take a quick time out. Remember, what we're talking about may spark a question in your mind. Well, that's great. We'd love to hear from you. You can text us at 95920. Or you can give us a call if you're feeling salty today, feel like being on the radio. That would be cool, too. Number is 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. You are listening to Senior Class. We're live and local on News 102.3 and AM 740, KRMG. La, da, da, da. La, da, da. Welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. It's kind of a cloudy day out there today. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. See if we're going to dry up a little bit. Stay tuned because coming up next hour, we've got Living Well with Dr. Booz. Remember, if you've got questions for us today, you can text us at 95920 or give us a call, 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. Someone did just that. We'll get to them in just a moment. But first, your host is Mr. Rusty McMurray. Good morning.
Good morning, Senior Class. Thanks for tuning in. Got a great show going for you today, talking about end-of-life issues and planning, talking about wills, trusts, and estates. I want to welcome live to the studio my co-host, Brittany Burridge from the Linden Assisted Living and Memory Care. Brittany, hello. Thanks for waking up today.
Glad to be here, as always.
Then also, we have Tim Houchin, attorney, and Dr. Joe Moore, owner of Moore Funeral Homes. We have a caller, Russ, has a question about a trust.
We do. Terry, good morning. Thanks for calling in. What is your question for us this morning? Terry?
He has a trust, and he had that made up about a year before we got married. And my question is, do we need to amend that or change it to include my name in it? Because right now it's all in going to his son. So I'm not sure if.
Right. Your phone's cutting out just a little bit, but I think we got the gist is that, Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a really good question. He had a trust before you got married, and right. After you got married, you're asking if you should modify or amend that trust. And my answer to that would be definitely, especially if he wants to include you in any of his property. Right now, that trust is the controlling document. If something happens to him, everything goes to his son and you're not going to get anything. And if it's his intent that you receive part of his property or his estate as his wife, that is going to be ignored and bypassed by that trust. And so if he wants to include you in that, then you definitely are going to need to amend that trust, which is easily doable.
Okay.
You can amend those and fix it.
Well, I think he's gotten some bad. I think he got some bad advice. I guess his attorney said that it was going to go half to me anyway. So,
oh no,
that is true. under probate process. If you probate a will and a spouse is not included, the spouse has a spousal selection of getting half of that property. He's correct on if it's probated. However, if all the properties is accurately placed in a trust, you bypass that probate process, and you're not going to get anything.
Okay. I'm with you. Now I got it. Okay.
All right. Thanks all right. So much.
Terry, thank you for calling in. We do appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
All right. So, once again, great question. If you have a question or comment, feel free to text us at 95920. Or Russell, what's that call-in phone number?
It is 918-460-5764.
It always happens. We have some of the best conversation during the commercial break. And Tim, you were bringing up some good points that Joe had asked about the handwritten wills. Joe, you said from time to time you get people that come in with a handwritten will.
That's exactly right. And we, of course, we have to make decisions about, how the body is going to be taken care of when somebody mm-hmm. passes away. So we go by that will, and we are just hoping that's a valid will. We can usually tell that it is. But
so, Tim, are handwritten wills still legal and valid in the state of Oklahoma?
In the state of Oklahoma, a handwritten will can be valid. There's some very specific requirements for a handwritten will. It's what's called a holographic will to be a valid will. It has to be all in the person's handwriting. You can't type anything or make amendments to it. But if it's all in their handwriting, it describes their property. It's signed and dated, and it's all in the same person's straight handwriting and not typed up at all, then that can be a valid will. Sometimes they're a little harder to prove in court, but that is a valid way to do a will. If you can't get access to notaries or witnesses and you just want to write up a will real quick for yourself.
Or a
deathbed will, that's frequently what they're called. And it is a valid document in the state of Oklahoma to pass your property.
So three keys to that.
Yeah.
It has to be in your handwriting.
Yes.
There can be not one word typed on that
piece of
paper.
Can't type things on it, no.
Number two, it's got to be signed.
Yes.
And number three, and this is a big one, and you had one that went haywire because
we had one that
must be dated.
Yes, we had one that was all correct. It was written out. It was signed at the bottom, and they forgot to write a date on it, and that made it an invalid will. It didn't do anything.
Wow. Okay, we do have another caller. You want to go ahead and do
this? Yes.
All right, Dee, you have a question for the attorney this morning. Thanks for calling. What is your question today?
Good morning. It's a simple one. I have one son. And he has three sons. I have three grandsons. Do I need a will or trust or both?
Do you have property that you would like to go to your son when you pass away?
Just what I have left of my husband's retirement and my social security. About $150,000.
All right.
Not a lot.
That money...
Not a lot in your world, ma'am, but <that's>, I'm making radio money, just saying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. If you passed away without a will, your son could probate your estate through the court system, and all that property, if that's your only son, would go to him.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's going to cost him several thousand dollars to do that process, and it's going to be a hassle, and it's going to take him – somewhere probably between 3 months to
and 6 months.
6 months to
especially
finish
if it's
that
property.
Process. And it's an extra hassle that's really not necessary.
I had thought about putting a deed on my house that goes to him. A
quick deed?
No, the other one that he's a surgeon and I can't put him on my account.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Because. Right. And so I do want him to have my house, although it's not a big, big piece of property. I have money in it, and maybe I do need something that goes right to him, and he doesn't need that hassle.
Well, some people will add their children to a deed to their house, which is a way to kind of bypass the system. However, it creates that house as part of their assets as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what the
and
problem
that's why
is,
you can't do it.
If you do that... So he has a car wreck and gets sued, your house is his asset, and that's a big problem.
Yes, that's why we aren't doing it.
Yes. So sometimes a trust would be a great way to pass your house. It'd be very simple, and it would avoid that probate process. It's not a complicated document, especially if there's only one or two assets you're passing. On bank accounts, sometimes what you can do with actual cash in banks is the banks will allow you to identify a beneficiary, a payer payable on death. Those kind of situations...
Well,
go beyond.
I'm sorry. He's actually named in my bank account.
Okay.
Because I don't keep a lot of money in there.
Okay.
Well, but what Tim is saying is that retirement account that you're pulling money off of from your husband, it's more than likely in a tax advantaged account, a 401k rollover or an IRA. So with that, you can designate a beneficiary of those assets within that document at your financial advisor's office. Tim?
That is correct. And then that would also bypass that probate process. And what would happen if you passed away is that account manager would simply write a check of the account balance to your son at that point.
To me, it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, that probably the easiest solution instead of doing all these multiple things is to just go forward with having the will and the trust, right?
A trust is one document that you can include all these different things
trust,
in one
okay.
time.
Yeah. So, Dee, I think the short answer is to do the trust.
Does it vary in cost?
Different law firms have different costs depending for the trust process. It's typically fairly straightforward, especially for something like what you're doing, which only has a couple of assets to pass. A lot of times the price varies depending on the amount of the estate. If you're doing a multi-million dollar estate, obviously it's going to be a much more complicated no, process.
Not hardly.
So if you grab a pen and a piece of paper, right before break, we'll give out Tim's phone number so you can give him a call. And as always, like to shop around, talk to Tim, talk to a couple of other people, and make sure that you find the best representation for you. So, Tim, what's the phone number that if people have additional questions?
My office number is 918-599-8600.
That's
8600.
Yeah, 599-8600. And his office is downtown Tulsa.
Downtown Tulsa. We're on the corner of 4th and Main Street. And I'm available most days to answer any questions. And obviously, you can leave a message with my staff and get back in touch with you as fast as I can.
I'll do that.
Thank you so much, Dee. God bless.
Thank you so much for calling, Dee. And thanks for listening to Senior Class here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. We do appreciate it. So we're going to take a quick time out for the news, get you caught up on the events of the day, and, of course, that all-important weather forecast from our partners over there at Fox 23. Remember, if you have a question like Dee, well, then you can give us a call at 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. Or you can text us at 95920. You're listening to Senior Class on News 102.3 KRMG. La, da, da, da.
La, da, da, da. I've got sunshine on a cloudy day.
Oh, welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. My name is Russell Mills. On Senior Class this morning, we're talking about wills, we're talking about trusts, we're talking about end-of-life issues. If you've got any questions about all that, and we've already had a couple of callers this morning, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764, or you can always text us your questions as well at 95920. Your host for Senior Class is Mr. Rusty McMurray.
Good morning, Senior Class. Thanks for waking up with us today. Great show, as always, live here in the studios. We have Brittany Burridge from the Linden Assisted Living and Memory Care, as well as Dr. Joe Moore for Moore Funeral Homes. And our special guest and expert is Tim Houchin, attorney here in Tulsa. Guys, thanks for waking up. Great show so far.
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, so much excitement.
Yeah. I was excited.
Nobody likes to talk about
that. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know what? People don't like to talk about it.
It is a tough topic.
That's why it's a really important conversation to have, right?
It is. And we're going to talk about some of the pratfalls that do happen when you think you're doing everything correctly. I have a quick story to tell. It has to do with a will and a trust. An individual, they did the trust route. They put the house, the majority of the assets and resources in trust. And the lady was getting elderly. She was a little bit sick. And during that time, they were planning on remodeling her house that she had lived in and selling it. So they got a construction loan. Mm-hmm. And when they got a construction loan, they got it in her personal name instead of the trust. And lo and behold, the lady passed during construction. And when she passed, they froze the construction assets because they weren't in the trust. They were in her individual name. So the check that they wrote for five figures to the builder for supplies was basically frozen. And it was no good. And the family had to quickly rectify the situation or have a home in a nice neighborhood go unfinished and half completed, and the neighbors don't like that either. Yeah. And the family thought they were doing everything right, and the bank didn't guide them in the right direction at all.
Well, the bank might not have known,
The trust bank account was at the bank.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's where the bank was. Yeah. They should have known. And it is frustrating, but so many times, Tim, people think they're doing it right, but yet they still step into that pothole. What are two or three things that are most important in making sure a will succeeds at death?
The biggest thing with a will is just to make sure that it says what you want it to say, and that it is signed and witnessed and notarized properly. And if you get all those things done correctly, the will is going to do what you want to say. The biggest problem I see with trusts is where people fail to what's called fund the trust. You can do all the paperwork and sign and create your trust, but if you don't put all the assets you want into that trust by changing the name or the title of those assets, it doesn't matter. The trust only owns
whatever
is titled
you put
in the name of the trust. So if I create a Tim Houchin Family Trust, and that's what it's called, And I have a bank account in the name of Tim Houchin, and I have a bank account in the Tim Houchin Family Trust. The only one that is part of the trust and will be guided by the trust is the one that's titled as the trust.
Yeah, I see that happen so many times. They go through the effort in spelling out the trust, but then they don't take the additional time to change the asset on the house, the bank accounts, and all of those resources that they want the trust to protect, but they don't take that time to change those asset names. Is it hard? Is that why people don't go through, or they just forget?
Many times people simply forget. A lot of times it seems scary to re-deed your house out of your own personal name into the name of a piece of paper, but that's what you're doing. And people don't want to do that. It's the final step. If you are guided correctly and work through this process, it's really not that difficult. It's just like signing another quitclaim deed to yourself, but you would do it in the name of your trust. You sign it as the current owner, and you sign it into the name of the trust as the owner and trustee of the trust. And so it's really just a self-transfer, but it's super important, because if you don't do that, your house isn't in the trust, and it's not guided by that.
Okay,
trust.
That all sounded kind of scary to me, just like you said. So is that where you have the attorney that guides you through the process, or do they write your trust, give it to you, pat you on the back, tell you what to do, and off to the next customer?
Some of them might do that. That's not what we're going to do. If I do a trust with people, I guide them through the entire process, because, like I said, without funding the trust, I haven't done anything. I haven't helped anybody the way I wanted to help them. And getting their house, basically anything with a title or a deed, and bank accounts, house, cars, boats, motorcycles, anything you have that has a piece of paper attached to it that says who owns it needs to be changed into the name of that trust so that it becomes part of the trust. You can put a schedule attached to the trust that says here's the assets in the trust, but if you don't properly transfer those assets, it doesn't actually do what it's supposed to do.
Okay, I have a very important question that just kind of came to me, is that, all right, so you talked about anything that has a paper item to show that you have ownership, but what about those life insurance policies? I mean, what do you do with those, like a whole life policy or a term or something you had put into a while? Can you retitle the name of an individual life insurance policy to a trust?
You can actually identify the trust as the beneficiary of your life insurance policy.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, you'll call your life insurance carrier and tell them, I've created a trust. Here's the name of my trust. And sometimes you need to send them the paperwork to show that it's been created. And then they will reissue your life insurance policy with that trust as the beneficiary. And then the trust will say, as part of its documentation, when I receive the life insurance proceeds, here's how you distribute them. And so the trustee who takes over after you pass away will receive those proceeds into the trust account, and then will distribute them as you have directed.
That's great. So I'm taking it to the next step, is that if me as an individual have moved all the assets that were in my name to a trust, is that how people help protect against nursing home costs and to be able to qualify for Medicaid?
It can. There's a giant difference between trusts here, whether they are
considered right
or irrevocable.
Okay, I hear that a lot, Joe, in your field when you're talking about pre-planning for a funeral, that term revocable versus irrevocable. What does that really mean?
Well, that means that the funds are actually allotted toward a pre-planned funeral policy. And in that case, if it's irrevocably, it's basically assigned to the funeral home at the time of death. That means those funds are not counted against that person when a decision is made as to how much resources they have when it comes time for long-term care if they need it.
Interesting. So that brings us to another question that I think is kind of important and a lot of people encounter. What about like your final wishes as far as your funeral is concerned, or whether you want to be cremated or you want to be buried or you want to be put in a mausoleum?
Exactly.
Is that something that they handle through the funeral home, Joe, or is that something you need an attorney for?
Generally, we handle it through the funeral home. As I say, most of the time there's the person's given some indication of what they want. Now, if they basically it just comes down to the next of kin. If they don't have a pre-planned funeral policy in place, then the next of kin would decide what happens. And, you know, it starts out with a spouse and then children and then parents and so forth. We just hope that the person has made it clear to their next of kin, if they don't have a pre-planned funeral policy, what they want, because we want them to be remembered the way they want to be remembered.
And do you find many situations in which they have not done any of that and it kind of becomes a conflict amongst the family? And
It certainly can. And, for instance, there may be two children. One may think burial is the most appropriate thing. The other may say cremation.
Right.
Cremation is obviously an irreversible process. Mm-hmm. So we really want unanimous opinion among children, for instance, is if they want cremation.
Right. Because that's part of the grieving process, too.
It really is.
You know, grieving your loved one. Tim, I have another question. This is a follow-up question. What about before death? So say I'm in the hospital and I'm on certain life support or whatever the circumstances may be, or I need a surgery and I'm incapacitated. Who makes those decisions for me?
That's a really good question, and it's one of the ones that many people skip. Sometimes people will think about what happens when I die, but they don't think about what happens if I'm in a car wreck and I don't die, but I'm just really hurt.
Yeah.
Or incapacitated mentally for the rest of your life.
Yes, or you have a stroke or something happens like that.
Right.
Nobody wants to think about that or plan for that part of their world. But there's a document called an Advanced Directive for Healthcare. We call them ADHCs, if you hear that acronym. Mm-hmm. And that document is basically your instructions to doctors and your families before you die, before you become incapacitated.
Right.
And you can't speak for yourself. And that takes away all of that decision-making from your family and your kids. And if you can say, I want you to keep me going as long as I can, or keep me going until this point. You can say, I would like you to
try these things, but
don't do these extraordinary measures. And it can be very personal. I had a lady who ran a flower shop, and she said, I don't care if you pull the plug on me, but I want the room full of flowers first.
Oh, wow.
And I also had some people who were very, very religious, and they said, I want you to pull the plug, but make sure I get my last rites first.
Right.
And so this is a way for you to give very specific instructions as to how you want the end of your life handled.
Mm-hmm.
And for the families, it's actually amazing because it takes away a lot of that stress. They don't have to worry about it.
You've already spelled it out for them.
And the burden of guilt of having to make those heavy decisions is, oh my gosh, can't imagine at all.
Can tear families apart.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out. And when we come back, I'm going to ask, you said advanced medical directive. Is there a difference between that and a living will?
And a DNR.
Okay, those are some issues that we can cover. And if you've got questions, text us at 95920, or we might even be able to get one more quick phone call in. The number's 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. And this is Senior Class on News 102.3 KRMG. La, da, da, da. La, da, da, da. Welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. Coming up here in about 9 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and, of course, your weather forecast from Fox 23. And then after the news, Living Well with Dr. Booze. We have a couple callers this morning. We'll get to those in just a second. But first, let's send it over to your host for Senior Class, Mr. Rusty McMurray.
Good morning, Senior Class. Great show. As always, we have an attorney here live in the studios answering questions regarding wills, trusts, and probate. We have attorney Tim Houchin. Tim, thanks so much for taking time during your day to be on our show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. For those individuals that probably may or may not get their questions answered that are starting to rack and stack on the phones, what's your phone number at your office? And you'll answer these questions gratis for those folks that call in. I notice I put you on spot there.
That's all right.
But what's your phone number at the office?
Our office number is 918-599-8600.
Easy number to remember, 599-8600. I want to welcome live to the studios, Brittany Burridge, my co-host from the Linden Assisted Living and Memory Care. Brittany, as always, thanks for waking up and giving us your unique perspective.
I have loved this show today. It's been great.
It really has. And we have Dr. Joe Moore, owner of Moore Funeral Homes. Dr. Moore, thanks for taking time out of your day
It's a pleasure, Rusty.
All right, let's get to those callers before we end the hour.
Absolutely. And we are a little short on time, but let's see if we can get them both in. Our first caller is Angie. She has a question about deeds and trusts. Angie, how can we help you this morning?
Okay, I was listening to this show, and it talked about the life insurance policy. So this is if you have a trust in place you need to re-deed everything. I heard that. Mm-hmm. And then the comment about the life insurance. Then what about annuities? So I have, my dad has non-qualifying annuities. Are they done just like the life insurance?
Exactly. Anything you have that has a beneficiary or a payee that you can assign and you have a trust, I would assign that beneficiary or payee to be the trust that you've created. And then you can, in your trust, make directions that specify how you want those proceeds or those funds paid out.
Okay, so then a follow-up question. We have three, I have two siblings, there's three of us. And so if everything goes to the trust, then it needs to be written in the trust how it would be dispersed after my dad passes?
Exactly. The trust would then say how you want it described, how you want it paid out, if you want it to go to the siblings, if you want it to be held for some grandkids, if you want some funds to be set aside for college, whatever. And it gives you complete control over those assets after you've passed away through your trustee.
Does the will determine that, or is it the trust?
It's the trust. The will simply says who gets things, and then as soon as they've assigned those properties to people through the court system, you have no more mm-hmm. control over it. It's just they just get it, and they can do what they
go
want.
Go on their way.
Trust can give you ongoing control a little bit. You can say, you're going to get this money, but a trustee's going to manage it and pay it out for you. A lot of times we do that with younger people who are going to get funds to try to keep them from blowing it on a Corvette when they don't need to, when we want them to go to college. And so the trustee helps manage and control those funds. You lose that control if you do a will. They're just going to get it outright.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you so much.
Angie, thank you for calling.
Our next caller
is Ron. Ron, you had a question about trust. How can we help you this morning?
Ron, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, what is your question for us this morning, sir?
If you have a will and a trust already filled out, but you forget one thing, like mineral rights on a place?
Yes.
Does the whole thing have to go through probate?
Great question. We were talking about that during the break, Ron. Tim?
Yes. The answer to your question is no. The only things that would have to go through probate are the few that have, if you have something that you leave off of your trust, that may still have to be probated. But anything that is properly assigned to the trust does not pass through probate. It's not owned by you anymore. It's owned by the trust, and so it would go through that process. A lot of times people will have a house and a car and some mineral interest, and they'll assign them all to the trust, but then they'll buy a car and forget to put that one in the trust. And so sometimes we'll have a trust that manages everything, but it'll have to do a probate for one car. And it's kind of silly.
Can you talk about the pour over will?
The other option is when you have a trust, you create a will that's called a pour over will. And all that will does is dump anything that you missed into the trust.
I see.
So that way you don't have one car that's divided three ways among your kids. And gets really confusing. That car then gets assigned to the trust, and then passes through the trust the way you'd intended.
Now, the things that you missed do go through probate, but once they're through probate, they're assigned to the trust. So everything that's in the trust is protected. The things that you forgot are rolled into the trust.
If you have a pour over will, that's correct.
Exactly.
Does that answer your question, Ron?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Outstanding. Thanks for calling, and by golly, thanks for listening to Senior Class. We do appreciate it.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so we had some great questions today. There's a couple that Brittany and I have that we want to bombard in the next minute or so.
Okay, go for it.
Is that good? We have any more
You've
calls?
Got a little bit of time. You've got about
right.
a minute.
Okay. All right, so real quick, revocable versus irrevocable life insurance for funeral planning. If you're trying to qualify for Medicaid – for a nursing home, that needs to be irrevocable. Is that correct?
That is correct, because irrevocable plans, you cannot take that money back. You've consigned that money to that plan, and it is there forever. A revocable, as it sounds, you can undo that process. And so, when it comes to things like Social Security or any kind of
disability Medicaid,
like that, if you want to secure it from being counted in those calculations, you make it irrevocable. And that way it's set aside. We know what it's for. You can't take it back. It's done forever like that.
Perfect. What's your phone number again, Tim, for those folks?
918-599-8600.
That's all the time we have. I want to thank all of our great guests and co-hosts here in the studio today.
And Russell, once again, thank you for another great show.
Oh, my pleasure. I was sitting here fascinated. I was in the audience today because it was very, very interesting. I will tell you, he did answer my question off air. The living will and the medical advanced medical directive are indeed pretty much two different names for the same thing. Yes. So have one of those, by golly. You've been listening to Senior Class. Mm-hmm. Yep. You've been listening to Senior Class live and local here every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. Up next, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23 and KRMG. My name's Russell Mills. Been a pleasure spending the Sunday with you. We'll be back here live and local next Sunday. Please do join us and have yourself a great day.
You've been listening to Senior Class Radio with host Rusty McMurray.
Thanks for listening.
Tune into Senior Class Radio with Rusty McMurray every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Until next time, have a great weekend. God bless.